Father God, thank you today that we can join together wherever we are, whatever state we may be in, wherever we're located around the world, as we're all connected through this technology. We're united now, and we look to you. And we thank you that you hear us when we pray, that you answer. We thank you that you care about us. You haven't left us here. You haven't forgotten about us. You aren't asleep. You're not slumbering. Father, we acknowledge that we don't understand. We don't have all the answers of why things like this happen. But we know that you are good. We know that you are faithful. We know that you are with us. And so we call to you today and ask you to come and meet with us right where we are in that anxious heart. Lord, calm our fears today. Give us hope today. Infuse us with hope today in Jesus Christ. Father, we ask you now that in these next moments, we will hear from you. That your voice, your still small voice, will come into our hearts, into our minds, and speak fresh words of truth and hope and perspective, so that we can rise above the fear and the panic, that we can live in peace, and that we can have hope to share with those who have none. So God, we look to you today and thank you for the fact that you are with us, that you care for us. We love you today, we need you, and we call desperately out to you to come and minister to our hearts and our minds. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I don't know if you've ever done it before, but I've done it a couple times. And I'm no techno geek. I'm the farthest thing from that. But if you've ever done it, you know, there's something on the computer you can do. It's kind of a system reset, where if you're having problems maybe with a driver in your computer or an app that you put on there, some other issue, and it's creating problems, you can't get it resolved, you can actually go into System Restore and you can set a date, a previous date on the calendar, a month ago, 2 months ago, whenever it is, and then the computer will automatically go back to that date and restore the system to what it was like on that day. You know, I don't know about you, but I wish we could have a System Restore right now on life and on the world and on what's going on, that we could just, oh God, would you take us back to someday, like say maybe January 1 or something like that, and just restore everything to what it was like before. But we can't do that, of course, can we? However, we can. One thing we can do today, and what I want to try to do together with you, is we can, in our minds, go back to that time. So I'm going to ask you right now to go back, and I ask you this question. What were you thinking back on January 1, or let's say January 15th, just to pick a different day? What was on your mind? What did a typical day look like for you? What were you thinking about throughout the day? Maybe it was, well, it's my senior year. I'm coming down the final stretch, and I'm looking forward to all that that means, the prom and graduation. Maybe you were thinking about, I can't wait till the season starts to win our lacrosse season again this year. Maybe you want to, in the spring, you want to get out on the golf course. You want to go visit your grandkids like me, like Teresa. We have a new granddaughter. We want to go see her. Or maybe you want to get out on the golf course, you want to go to your favorite restaurant. Now here's a question for you to maybe take you back. What was the last restaurant you ate at before they all shut down? Not delivery. I'm not asking you had somebody deliver, but the last time you went to a restaurant, what was the last restaurant you ate at? So try to put yourself in that frame of mind, and what were your preoccupations? What were you consumed with? And now fast forward and come back to today. And what's on your mind? And what are you concerned about? And what are you looking forward to? Oh my, it's drastically different, isn't it? Everything's different. All those things we were looking forward to, living for, assuming would be there for us in a blink of an eye, almost overnight, certainly within a week, they were all gone, at least for now. And now we're concerned about a whole new set of circumstances. like we're counting out the rolls of toilet paper, right? Make sure we have enough. I love that one meme where it said, you know, I used to spin that toilet paper like the Wheel of Fortune. Now I crank it like I'm cracking a safe. And maybe that's what you're doing. But those are the kind of things I never imagined I would be thinking about. But now I'm thinking about them. And about whether you'll have your job at the end of this. Or whether there'll be any money left in your 401k. Not just lost, but will there be anything left? Will it ever get back to normal? We're thinking all these things that are so different. The world is just turned upside down. In essence, it's like we're standing on our head. When I was younger, I used to be a gymnast and stand on my hands, walk all over the house on my hands, handstands on bars. You know, if you stand on your head, the world looks different. And essentially, the world looks different now, completely different, and it probably never will be the same. But what I want to do today is I want to take you into God's Word, and I want to encourage you that that might not be all bad. Some of the things that we're thinking about today, perhaps we should have been thinking about before. Like how valuable, how dear our family members are. How fragile life really is. How important it is to tell people that we care about them. How we don't have any guarantee on tomorrow. Those are all good things to have in mind, but often we get in the busyness of life and our life is going so well that we don't ever think about those kind of things. Well, a pandemic can help us have a reset in our perspective on life and in our priorities. Christian recording artist Laura Story, many of you know who she is. She was actually going to speak at the retreat this year of our district women. She had a very difficult experience a few years ago that changed her perspective. I mean, she had a pretty charmed life. She wrote the number one hit worship song, Indescribable, in 2004 that was recorded by Chris Tomlin. She married a handsome athlete named Martin Elvington. She was on staff and began to work in the music and women's ministry at the 4,000-member Perimeter Church in Atlanta. I mean, it went on and on. She was really on a roll. She signed a deal with INO Records. Her 2008 national debut, Great God Who Saves, won a Dove Award for Inspirational Album. She earned two consecutive nominations for Female Vocalist of the Year. Oh, man, life was good. She was really blessed. The future looked really bright. But right in the middle of all of that success and those blessings, the bottom dropped out when her husband was diagnosed with a brain tumor. He was hospitalized. And all of a sudden, just as we have been turned upside down, she and her world were turned upside down. And her faith was put in the fire, just as ours is today. Put in the fire. But she said the frightening and painful experience changed her perspective. It burned away many of the things that she took as blessings that were necessary and good in her life. It just burned them away. And it caused her to even redefine what actually is a blessing. And of course, she wrote a song, a hit song, of that with that title. It's called Blessing. And I want to read the lyrics for you because I think they speak to our situation today and the fiery trial that we're going through. Here are the lyrics. You can Google the song and listen to it, but here are the lyrics to this song. She writes, we pray for blessings, we pray for peace, comfort for family, protection while we sleep. We pray for healing, for prosperity, and we pray your mighty hand to ease our suffering. All the while you hear each spoken word, yet love is way too much to give us lesser things. Because what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if 1,000 sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? What if the trials of this life are your mercies in disguise? We pray for wisdom, your voice to hear. We cry in anger when we cannot feel you near. We doubt your goodness. We doubt your love. It, as if every promise from your word is not enough, all the while you hear our desperate plea and long that we would have faith to believe. And then she wrote this, when friends betray us, when darkness seems to win, this is it, when we know that pain reminds this heart, this world is not our home. And I think that's what God is doing now, if we'll listen. He's reminding us this world is not our home. What if my greatest disappointments, the aching of this life, is the revealing of a greater thirst this world can't satisfy? What if the trials of this life, the rain, the storms, the hardest nights, the pandemics, what if they are mercies, your mercies in disguise? Something to think about, isn't it? To consider. I think it's possible God wants to use this pandemic in your life to help you redefine blessings and to help you have an eternal perspective on your life. If you'll only allow him, if you open your heart and allow him to do that. And so I want to ask you a couple questions. Just continue to probe into your mindset and where you are emotionally and what you're thinking about these days. And so I ask you, has the pandemic made your heart pant more for God? Are you thinking about God a lot lately? Are you talking to him more? Are you praying? Are you seeking him? And even more, are you thinking about where he is and the home that he's preparing for you? Are you thinking about heaven? It's very interesting to me that in the first century, the Christians then, they were facing suffering. I mean, it's not anything new, is it? The suffering is the human condition. We live in a fallen, broken world full of pain and hardship and viruses. And suffering is nothing new. And those of us who know Christ, we are foreigners in a land. We're in enemy territory even. And there's a lot of hostility and hardship associated with that. Look no further than Jesus and his own experience. I guess it shouldn't surprise us that the Apostle Peter, when he wrote to Christians in the first century who were trying to deal with their own fires, their world was on fire, what he did with them is he tried to give them an eternal perspective. And he said, first of all, praise God, this is not going to last forever. When this is over, he said. And my friends, I just want to remind you, this pandemic is not going to last forever. It's very difficult because we're kind of dropped into a hole and we can't get out. And there's really not much else to do. And you turn on any media, it's all about how the world is coming to an end. And how the pandemic's coming after you. It's got your name on it, basically. And it's very difficult to move beyond that and to think, you know, in only a month, two, three, you know, we're going to begin to get back to some sense of normalcy. And we'll pick up our lives and move on. It's not going to last forever. He also reminded them, he said, I want you to look farther out. And I want you to remember that you have a home in heaven. Actually, you have an inheritance there that is very secure, that God is holding for you. And so he wanted them to be mindful of that while they're in the fire. And I think God wants you to be mindful of that as well. To think beyond the end of the pandemic and think out to what comes next after this life. And because of that reminder and through that mindset, he urged them to do this. He said, put your hope in the grace to be given you when Christ returns. Now, he didn't say to them, put your hope in the end of this trial, when the persecution and the suffering and the abuse that you experience ends. And some government crackdown on hate toward Christians. Don't put your hope in that. You should put your hope in the grace you'll receive when Christ returns. Think the long haul. Think about Jesus returns. And I want to remind you, my friends, today, that as we celebrate that entrance of Jesus into Jerusalem, and as we celebrate this week his death on the cross and next Sunday his resurrection, my friends, he is coming back. And I hate to jump ahead, but I'm going to do it because you need this encouragement today. He's coming back. And we need to put our hope in that. Right now, he's preparing a home for you, a place for you, the inheritance for you. He's preparing that for you, a place where there will be no more pandemics, no more pain, no more death, no more loss. And familiar words to almost all of us, perhaps. Jesus said to his followers, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If that were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go there to prepare a place for you, I will come back to take you to be there with me in that place." And that's what I want you to think about today. The hope, the encouragement, and the big picture. That God, in his grand scheme, the history of his creation, this is a small blip on the screen. It's painful, it's terrible. But there's something much bigger, such broader. So I urge you to back away. Paul, the apostle, talked about it in terms of citizenship. He said, our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there. If you could imagine it this way, we have some neighbors where Teresa and I live that had a house fire. And many of you know about that because you helped raise money for them. But let's imagine a scenario that would be similar to that. Imagine you're living in a rented home or apartment, and during this time, you're kind of living there while your dream home is being built in another town. A terrible storm comes, a tornado demolishes your apartment, your home you're renting, your possessions that are there. You're devastated there. The loss is complete. It would be very difficult. It'd be traumatic, but you're okay. Your family's okay, and ultimately it wouldn't be totally catastrophic because you would realize this isn't really my home. My home's untouched, and I can't wait to get into that home when it's done. I believe that's a perspective we need to take right now. This is not our home. And right now it's being ravaged and devastated and turned upside down. I mean, the entire world. Everything we knew. But I remind you, this is not our home. It's temporary. Our true home, for those who are in Christ, our home in heaven that is now being prepared for us, is untouched by what is going on. Now, that doesn't remove the pain. It doesn't remove the loss, the sense of grief. It doesn't remove it. But it puts it in a perspective that at least gives us hope. And that's what I wanted to do today. So let me conclude by saying, no, I'm not going to go so far as to say the pandemic is a blessing. I just can't quite go there. But I wonder sometimes, maybe could it be a God's mercy in disguise? Could it be his mercy in disguise to give us kind of a forced reset in life, an opportunity to reevaluate, to start over in what we prioritize, what we live for? What we're consumed with. So let me just share two quick takeaways before we have communion together and look forward to his return. Two takeaways from this idea of renewed perspective. First of all, I would urge you to make sure you're ready to meet God. To just put it that simply. I mean, this is the time to make sure. Are you ready to meet God? You know, there's a fair degree of talk right now about preppers, right? These people who have stockpiles of food and, you know, sometimes ammunition, and They have the ability to stay and live isolated from the rest of the world for years sometimes. And remember, if you remember back a few years ago, it was like they were a laughingstock to many people. Well, now who's laughing? Certainly not us. Because now they're prepared. My friends, I'm going to say it very plainly. There is a day of judgment that is appointed by God that is coming that will make this pandemic look like a picnic. The judgment on sin. That day is coming. Now, we don't know when it is. We have no idea when it will be coming, but it is coming. But here's the deal. Now is the time to prepare. Right now. And so I'm going to ask you a simple question. Are you sure that you are ready to go to heaven? When Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you, Thomas said, we don't know where you're going. We don't even know where that is. We don't know the way to get there. Do you know the way? When Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. I'm the way. And then he went to the cross and died there, taking our sins upon him. And he rose again. And he is the way. It's through trusting in him. And here's the good news, my friends. This is the good news. God became man in the person of Jesus. And Jesus, the God-man, lived the life that you and I could never live. And he died the death that we deserved in our place. 3 days later, God raised him from the dead, promising eternal life, promising forgiveness to those who would put their trust in him. And so today, I urge you right now, wherever you are, that you would bow your knee and say, Jesus, I need you. Come into my life. Forgive me for my sins. I trust you. I was just a young boy when I put my trust in Jesus, and I didn't do it in a church. I did it at home, perhaps right where you are. I was in my bedroom. And I just knelt down there and said, Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me for my sins. And he's changed my life. He's given me a new life. And he wants to do that for you. So that's number one. Make sure you're ready. If you have questions about that, if you need help and encouragement, would you contact us? Reach out through the contacts on the church. Because we want to help you. We want to encourage you. We want to guide you in that life, that new life in Christ. So number one, make sure you're ready to meet God. Number two, maintain an eternal perspective. Paul told some Christians, he said, set your mind on things above. It's like have a mindset. That's easier to do right now because our minds are shaken and stirred by all that's happened. But as life begins to get back to normal and we begin to pick up the pieces, we'll begin to drift back into the way we used to think. And so I'm urging you, set your mind on things above. Set your heart on things above. Live for that era, that time. You know, we're all wondering how long this crisis will last. None of us really knows. But I urge you to think beyond the end of the crisis, beyond the end of the recovery of our economy. Think beyond, keep going beyond until you come to the end of your life. Think beyond that and live your life with the end in view. Maintain that eternal spiritual perspective. Here's a suggestion I would make to help you to kind of reset throughout the day. There's a lot of news. It's hard to avoid, and it's about all things around the world. So whenever you hear a news report or you read something this week about what's going on around the world, when you hear something about Spain or Italy or China, wherever it might be, or even the U.S., whenever you hear that foreign nation, particularly, would you take that as a cue and say, God, would you help me? Take that as a cue to think, well, I don't live there. In fact, my citizenship is not really here either. My citizenship is in heaven. And to continue to remind yourself, set your mind, recalibrate your perspective that, God, this isn't really my home. Maintain that perspective. And here's one other suggestion I would urge you to do this week. Get your family together if you're at home with a family. And take out your Bible and read Genesis 1, 2, and 3. And then read Revelation 21 and 22. It gives us kind of the bookends, the big picture of the start, and God's creation, the fall. And then it gives us the beautiful picture of heaven. Read that. So ask God to help you maintain that perspective. You see, that I think that's one of the problems with the Jews in the first century, and they missed the boat because they weren't thinking in the right way. Their minds were on earthly things and the earthly kingdom rather than on the spiritual divine kingdom. And that's why after they shouted, "Worship him, Hosanna," a few days later, some of them stirred up the crowd and they crucified him. I want to close my comments before we come to communion with just a brief story about another songwriter, another female songwriter. She lived a long time ago. Her name is Annie Johnson Flint. And hers is a life of both heartbreak and triumph. She was born on Christmas Eve in 1866 in the little town of Vineland, New Jersey. 3 years later, this little Annie lost her mother when her younger sister was born. Her sister survived, her mother died. Her father was facing his own health issues and problems, and so at that point he felt overwhelmed. He gave his children, he gave Annie and her little sister to a family, the Flint family, to raise her. And they graciously did so and raised her in the Christian faith. Kind of fast forward all the way to her high school years, she did well. She began to understand and realize that she liked to write prose, she liked to write poetry. She went off to college and teacher training. She was called to a teaching position. She taught, and then in the second year of her teaching, she began to notice her health was failing. She was developing arthritis, and it rapidly developed to the point where she could no longer hardly even walk. The doctors confirmed that she essentially would be an invalid for the rest of her life. She lost her job and her ability to even do her job. The icing on the cake, as it were, was that that same time when all of this was happening, is that first one and then the other, both of her adoptive parents died as well, leaving her and her sister as orphans once again. What a trial. What a difficult time she had. Her faith, like Laura, stories like yours and mine, was put into the fire. And yet she maintained her faith. And she was able, through that perspective of God's blessing, understanding eternity, she was able to write songs that encourage us today. Gospel songwriters Bill and Gloria Gaither, they have taken great inspiration from her story. And Gloria said this about her. She said, "Annie's songs were about viewing all of life from the eternal perspective." Her songs were about viewing life from the eternal perspective. And I wonder why that was. Why did she do that? It's because she had been through so much. And that's, again, why I'm saying that perhaps God can use this pandemic to give us an eternal perspective.